BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in third and final hour of the program here on Tuesday morning. And also in this hour, we'll have your first code of the day to try to win cash here on WBSM. Sometime in this hour, you will get the code to enter at WBSM.com or on the WBSM app for your shot to win $100 for the hourly prize and to be entered to win for the $30,000 grand prize. Win cash here on WBSM, brought to you by Architect Managed IT Services. But right now, it is time for our guest to join us. We are joined now by the COO of the Greater Boston Food Bank, Cheryl Shondek, who joins us now on the line. Good morning, Cheryl. How are you?
Good morning, Tim. How are you today?
Doing all right. Thanks for joining us and talking about what is a very important issue, but one that I don't think is covered enough. Food security is a big issue across the Commonwealth. And tell us about the work that the Greater Boston Food Bank does to help combat that.
Yeah, thank you so much, and thank you for your listeners. For those of you that don't know, the Greater Boston Food Bank is the largest hunger relief organization in New England. And we like to say that we're the engine that drives the entire hunger relief system from Cape Ann, Gloucester, down to Cape Cod, as far west as Framingham. And we have a tremendous support system in the listeners in your area.
And really, the people that are in this area are, you know, we're blue collar people around here for the most part. We're hardworking people, but we're also people that want to give back to others when we can. And certainly helping people be able to not only eat, but eat the proper foods is a big deal.
Absolutely. Hunger is a big problem. And with big problems, it calls for big solutions. And you mentioned the collaboration that we have with folks in the New Bedford area. We are so proud to partner with Senior Whole Health by Molina Healthcare. We have set up mobile markets with the New Bedford Housing Authority where we distribute healthy food every month, specifically to low-income seniors. We are distributing produce, peppers, mangoes, bananas, some staple items like rice, beans, pasta, and cereal. And what it has done is we've seen that this investment and this collaboration has allowed us, as you mentioned, to improve that access to nutritious food.
And not only that, but you're also getting a lot of these foods locally from local farms. So this isn't like, you know, you're bringing in stuff from who knows where. This is also going back to helping, you know, local farmers as well and helping them get their products into the hands of people.
Absolutely. We partner with local organizations as much as we can. Now, clearly, if you look outside, there is nothing in the ground growing. But once the farms start, in May, we work with those farmers from May on items like leaf lettuce, radishes, all the way up to corn, peppers, summer, zucchini, and all the hard squash in the fall. We definitely want to work with those that are local in the community so the food stays within the community. Another aspect that we work with locally is the wholesaler, retailer, manufacturer. When we glean that food at a local retail outlet, that food stays within the community, goes directly to a soup kitchen, a shelter, or a food pantry that is served to the client that day. Believe it or not, the collaborative effort that we have distributing food to 190 cities and towns, our member agencies are providing food access to 600,000 clients a month.
So that not only is giving people the right food that they need, but that's doing it in a way where we know what they're getting. We know what's in the food that they're getting. We know that they're getting the most nutrition possible out of this. So it's multifold, because it's one thing just to feed people. It's another thing to feed people properly, because that's what keeps them healthy. This isn't just being able to provide people with a peanut butter sandwich. This is giving them the things that have the nutrition that they need.
Right. I like to say it's not about just filling the belly, but there is tremendous nutrient qualities in that peanut butter sandwich.
True.
that you just mentioned. But we do work with two registered dietitians that we have on staff. We rank every single item that comes into this building and exits this building for a nutrient quality. And we are so proud of the fact of, especially the amount of produce, fresh, healthy produce that we are distributing to our client. Because, again, another staggering statistic, we recently worked on some research and unfortunately found that for a third year, one in three people in Massachusetts is food insecure.
Wow.
Hunger is a lived reality. It's not just an emergency anymore. It's a lived reality with a profound impact on an individual's health and well-being. Our core competency is distributing food, and that's why for nearly half a century, we have played an essential role in this hunger relief system, and there's no turning back. We will continue to do this until we solve the problem of food insecurity. We can't do it alone. The collaborative effort that we have with the folks at Molina Whole Health in that New Bedford area has been a tremendous, tremendous partnership, and we're looking to expand that in other communities. But a shout out to all of our donors, our partners, the federal government, the state government. Without that collaborative effort, we would not be where we are today by providing approximately 90 million healthy meals across eastern Massachusetts every year.
And we are talking with Greater Boston Food Bank COO Cheryl Shondek. And Cheryl, why is it that some seniors are having food insecurity? What leads to some of these issues? You would think these folks, you know, they've lived through all these different times of what we've had access to when it comes to food. So you think that they'd be kind of on top of these things, but there are extraneous factors that lead to them being food insecure. What are some of those factors?
Yeah, and thank you again for shining a light on this, Tim, and thank you to your listeners. There are many factors. COVID, inflation. Folks may have come upon an incident where one member of the working household is unable to work to take care of a member of the family who has fallen ill. So every situation is unique, and folks are challenged with rising costs, rising fuel costs, rising utility costs. As I previously mentioned, our core competency is distributing food. If we can take that worry off the plate of a family, especially a senior, they can focus on those other bills that they have to pay in their household.
So how does it work if somebody needs to get food from the Greater Boston Food Bank and through these efforts, how does that all work?
Yeah, great question. So I'll give a homework assignment to all your listeners. Please visit our website, www.gbfb.org. There is a link on our website called Need Food. Go on that link, key in your zip code, and it will share not only the food insecurity rates in your neighborhood, but it will tell you where there are food, where healthy food is being distributed right in your community.
Oh, so that's very helpful. And then they can just go to those places and talk with them and be able to actually get and be part of this program.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have 600 partner agencies listed on the site for those in need to go and find healthy meals. It truly is a tremendous collaborative effort that we have. Again, we're the hub, the nucleus of distributing that food. Those 600 partner agencies are working with those 600,000 clients a month to make sure that we are providing the right meals. We've expanded what we call culturally relevant food to some communities simply by listening to what the clients need. We're not the experts relative to what those 600 clients want every single month during these distributions. So at last month's distribution, working with Molina Health and the folks in New Bedford, those items will change every single month to be able to provide the nutrient quality, the staple items to fill their cupboard, as well as items that they want when they're preparing a meal.
Well, so what if somebody's listening right now and they say, you know, we don't have any problem with food insecurity. We're very lucky and fortunate to be able to have all the nutritious food that we need, but we still want to be able to give back in some way. Is there a way that they can, you know, help out the Greater Boston Food Bank with these efforts?
Absolutely. You can help the Greater Boston Food Bank, or you can help those locally within your community. I like to say there's four legs to a table. You can provide food donations. That's one. You can provide financial donations so that we can purchase more healthy food. You can volunteer in your local community or here at the Greater Boston Food Bank. We run our operation 6 days a week. And then finally, advocate on our behalf. Talk to your local appointed and elected officials about food insecurity, about the staggering statistic that 1 in 3 residents in Massachusetts does not know where their next meal is coming from. And if we can provide all four of those pillars, we have a stable table to provide a healthy meal to those 600,000 clients.
So it's incredible that we live in a society like this where we think that we would want for nothing, yet so many people want just to have, you know, they need that next meal and they don't know where that's coming from. It's just, it's mind-boggling to me that's where we're at in 2024, that 1 in 3 people don't know where the next meal is coming from.
Exactly. But I want to give you a shout-out. We greatly appreciate you bringing attention to this opportunity to end hunger here.
Well, we will absolutely do all that we can. Cheryl, thank you for joining us and keep us updated on all your efforts.
Take care. Thank you again, and thank you to all the listeners.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day. Again, that is Greater Boston Food Bank COO Cheryl Shondek. And as she mentioned, the website is gbfb.org. And if you go there, you can click on Need Food. And I just used my location. I'm sitting here in the WBSM studio in Fairhaven. So I typed use my location. I clicked on use my location. 16 different organizations came up just within a few miles of where we are that can help you if you are food insecure, if you are in that position, if you're one of the 1 in 3, if you are that 1 in 3 that doesn't know where your next meal is going to come from. YMCA South Coast, New Bedford Mobile Market, the Salvation Army, the New Bedford Food Pantry and Meals Program, Mo Life's Food Pantry, Pace, their food pantry, the Grace Episcopal Church Food Pantry, the St. Martin's Food Pantry, St. Lawrence Food Pantry, Pentecostal Assembly, Catholic Social Services of New Bedford, St. Anthony of Padua Food Pantry and Soup Kitchen, New Life Food Pantry, YMCA South Coast Dartmouth, Arnie's Cupboard at UMass Dartmouth, the Shepherd's Pantry, YMCA South Coast and the Marian Council on Aging, My Brother's Keeper in Dartmouth. So these are just some of the places that you can reach out to if you are having trouble finding out where that next meal is going to come from. Hey, listen, I've been there myself. I think a lot of folks in the audience probably have been, where we've had to go to a food pantry. We've needed that help from time to time. There's no shame in asking for it. That's why organizations like the Greater Boston Food Bank and all of these partner organizations exist. That's why they're able to bring food to people like we are talking about today. So, and this is just some of the focus we're going to be doing in the coming months on the efforts that are going into helping New Bedford seniors. not just in providing food, but also some other services that are coming their way as well. So we'll talk more about those coming up in the coming weeks and months. Right now, though, I've got to take a break. We got to go into a commercial. 508-996-0500 if you want to call in and get involved in the discussion. The best Hall & Oates song. Better than Man Eater. Better than Private Eyes. Better than I Can't Go For That. Better than, really, I don't think there's any 80s song that gets me as fired up as Out of Touch. So I don't know. Maybe that's just me. 508-996-0500. We'll take more of your calls coming up after the news and your app chat messages and your open line voicemails. You just heard the first code of the day. And I'm sorry, I can't repeat it if you missed it. You got to just keep listening every hour and enter in them in at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. So today we will have, coming up after this program, Chris McCarthy will be here with South Coast Now, and he'll have some more codes for you throughout his show. And then we have Bill O'Reilly. And after Bill O'Reilly, Ken Pittman will be in today filling in for Barry Richard. And there'll be some more codes for you this afternoon as well, all the way into the Howie Carr Show. So codes every hour from 8 a.m. through 5 p.m. each weekday here on WBSM. Your chance to win cash on WBSM, brought to you by Architect Managed IT Services. And we've got other giveaways planned as well, including we've got concert tickets coming up and some tickets to some special events going on. So all kinds of giveaways coming your way. But you could avoid needing to try to win tickets, because with 30 grand, you could buy tickets to any concert you want to go to. So, all right, it's time now to go into the newsroom and get all the headlines of the day with Phil Devitt.
A plan to dismiss student loan debt for millions of Americans. Trump's hush money trial staying put. And reason to keep those eclipse glasses.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Biden laying out a new plan to forgive student loan debt. While visiting Wisconsin yesterday, Biden announced a set of actions he says would benefit tens of millions of Americans.
But Republicans say taxpayers who did not go to college or already paid back their loans should not have to bail out the 13% of Americans with federal student debt.
That's NBC's Gabe Gutierrez. Part of the plan is forgiving unpaid interest for individuals who now owe more on their loans than they originally borrowed. The plan would also forgive some debt for borrowers who've carried their loans for decades. It's the latest attempt by Biden to cancel student debt after the Supreme Court blocked his sweeping cancellation plan last year. The administration plans to propose the new regulations for public comment in the coming months, and it's expected to face legal challenges. The Justice Department is refusing to turn over recordings of President Biden's interview about his improper handling of classified documents. Brian Shook with more.
House Republicans set Monday as the deadline for Attorney General Merrick Garland to release the records or possibly face a contempt of Congress charge. The interview has become a lightning rod after former special counsel Robert Hur called Biden an elderly man with a poor memory. Garland is refusing to turn over the recordings because he believes the GOP wants them for political reasons. I'm Brian Shook.
Former President Trump will not get a change of venue for his upcoming hush money trial. An appeals court did not agree with his lawyer's argument that he cannot get a fair jury in New York on Monday ruling. Trump is charged with falsifying business records in an effort to cover up an alleged sexual encounter with actress Stormy Daniels. The trial is set for April 15th. It's sentencing day in Michigan for James and Jennifer Crumbly, the parents of Oxford High School shooter Ethan Crumbly. Both were convicted in separate trials on four counts of involuntary manslaughter for the November 2021 shooting deaths of four students, and they'll be sentenced together. They face a maximum sentence of 15 years in prison. And don't throw out those eclipse glasses. Michael Kastner tells us why.
There's so much that we need to share. So send a smile and show you care.
The group Astronomers Without Borders is accepting donated glasses to send to Africa, Asia, and North and South America for future eclipse events. They can be donated at any Warby Parker store. The organization called Eclipse Glasses USA is accepting glasses to send to students in Latin America for the October annual eclipse. Glasses can also be saved for the next eclipse event, with the most notable one coming in 20 years. I'm Michael Kastner.
WBSM Sports.
Picture perfect spring weather for the Red Sox home opener today at 2 o'clock. The Bruins home to play the Carolina Hurricanes at 7, and the Celtics play the Bucks in Milwaukee at 7:30 tonight.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Mostly clear skies this morning, mid-upper 40s. This afternoon, plenty of sunshine, mid-upper 50s. The wind out of the east will be keeping it quite cool out of the immediate coastline overnight tonight. Mostly cloudy, low 40s for tomorrow. More clouds and sun, but then in the afternoon, clouds will increase with a chance for showers. Turns even more unsettled tomorrow night through Friday. Be sure to watch ABC 6 for my full 7-day forecast. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM news update brought to you by Ocean Wine and Spirits Liquors. For the largest selection of nips near Fairhaven, now open at 157 Pope's Island in New Bedford. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
That, of course, is Firehouse with lead singer CJ Snare, who we just lost the other day. CJ Snare passed away just 64 years old. He had been diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer back in 2020, but he underwent abdominal surgery back in the fall, and he intended to be on tour with Firehouse this summer, but then passed away on April 5th from a heart attack. But Firehouse was one of those bands that they came about in 1990 was when they released their debut album. So they were at kind of the tail end of the hair band era. Those bands that came out from like 1990 to 1992, 93, they don't really get the kind of love that they should because they were only around for a little bit. Grunge took over in 91, and you know, hair bands were kind of, people just turned on them, but those bands were putting out great music at that time and hugely popular, until all of a sudden people were like, oh wait, this is, we don't like this anymore, we want to go in this direction. And so there were a lot of Extreme was putting out great music. Rest in peace, the best Extreme song of all time. people forget about it, though, because, you know, Nirvana was already out by that point. So Firehouse, great band, and rest in peace, CJ Snare. Sorry that we lost a great voice and somebody who was ready to hit the road again this summer after overcoming cancer. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM. Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Weisberg.
How are you doing?
Good. Thank you for the music. I know you play Huey Lewis in the news, too. I always liked them.
Great band.
Yeah. Well, I used to exercise to their music in my living room. And the, Steve Winwood. Play something by Steve Winwood. He's got great music for dancing around.
Yeah. I mean,
shaking it up.
And a guy who's had great music in many decades.
Oh, I loved all that stuff. Yeah. Well, the reason I'm calling is because I want to give a comment, if it's okay, about the video that Carlos put up about the city meeting where the supposed attack took place, assault and battery. Okay, so I made a comment where, you know, you make your comments at the video site there.
Mm-hmm.
People commented, blah, blah, blah. It was assault, so I commented that it was not an assault. Anybody can see when she got out of her chair. And I mean, if you're going to look at the video, really look at it. Are you just being dumb? She got out of the chair. She didn't have any intention to assault that guy, and anybody can see that. She just acted spur of the moment, the way she felt, and she got up, and she was going to let him know he was going the wrong way. She didn't. The minute she touched him, if you go look at it again, the minute her hand touched him, immediately, the first words out of his mouth, "That's assault and battery. That's assault and battery." We know, Mr. Safiola. Listen, these are city meetings. It's about the city of New Bedford, the New Bedford I grew up in. Things that you do over there, Mr. Safiola, that takes away time from them when they're supposed to be talking about stuff. You went to the bathroom, and it's kind of funny. You went to the bathroom the right way when you had to go, but you did this when you came back because you had to make sure you went and peed first and get that over with because you were going to cause a ruckus out there, and you did it. You can't be doing that. Come on, listen, I'm not crazy about Linda Morad, and you know I'm not. But when I see something and it's wrong, we have to be right here. If I was on a judging panel or something, there is no way I'm going to hang that lady for that. It's stupid. Well, you need to stop doing that, Mr. Safiolis. This is why I know better about me. I know who I am, and I'm not going to go over there unless they're going to put duct tape over my mouth and tie my hands down. So I don't go there because I'm going to be hollering about almost everything.
If
you can't control yourself, you need to not go there or be quiet.
When it happened, you know, Gilly called in here and, you know, he explained and also Carlos and Craig called in. They explained that people had used that path to leave the room to go to the bathroom. And, you know, it's happened numerous. That's where people would go. So, you know, he didn't realize he was doing anything wrong. And actually, when he was out of the room, that's when Councilor Abreu, who was the chair of the committee, had said, you know, don't walk that way anymore, please, folks. So he actually wasn't in the room when that announcement was made. So when he came back in, he just thought he was coming back in and going to his seat. So he didn't know that he was doing anything wrong at that point.
Is that what you believe?
Based on what other people have said in that room, yes. I've talked to other people who aren't those three.
You have a right to your opinion.
Who were in that room.
I think it was completely provoked. He was going to start something over there, and he did it. And he got away with it. I'm sorry. No. I don't look at it like that.
I don't think that was the case here.
If he went one way going to the bathroom, he could have came back the same way. I would have done that if I had
gone to the
restroom.
That's the way that he went, isn't it?
No. Somebody told me that he went a different way.
Oh, well, the bottom line is, the as he put it, when
so
he called in.
It's okay to disrupt everything by being disrespectful and walking by that panel that are sitting there.
I don't think his intention there was to be disrespectful. I don't think in that particular case that was his intention.
When I complained and said that it was not an attack, then they try to come back and change it. Oh, yeah, we looked up. No, it's a simple attack now. It's a simple assault. I don't care what they call it. If you're looking at that woman in that video when she got up, there's no way that she was thinking of assaulting and a battery. Come on.
If he was coming back and she stood up in his way and he put his hand on her and moved her out of the way for him to walk by, would you consider that assault?
If it was the same way she did it, she had no intent. You can see that, Mr. Weisberg. Go look at it again. She acted. It was instinct. She got up. He's going the wrong way. She's going to tell him. So she raised her hand. You think she was going to kill him and bat him and bang him out and knock him out to the floor? She wasn't going to do that. Come on, let's be real now. Thank you for my more than 3 minutes today.
All right.
Thank you.
You have a good day.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
And we've got some calls coming in. Let's see if we can get some in here. Let me put them on hold before we have to go to a break. Let's take this one right here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. I was listening yesterday to the radio. Did Chris get his glasses?
He did, yes. He was all set.
Oh, he got them all? And how did you look? Did you get to see anything?
Yeah, I poked my head out the back door. It was okay. It was fine. It was cool. And then I just went back to work.
Oh, so you could see stuff, though? You could?
Yeah, well, I had different glasses, but yeah, I was able to see it, yeah.
Oh, that's good. All right, and I kind of agree with her, what she was just talking about, with they just don't like each other. I just think that's what it is.
Yeah, and that really is the... So anytime they have any kind of conflict, it's going to be blown out of proportion.
I know.
All righty. Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
And now let's go over to this line here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Not bad. Hey, is it all right if I change the subject just a little bit, go kind of in a different direction?
Sure.
It's kind of what you guys were talking about on the news with Donald Trump and all that junk. So I guess he offended both sides with his abortion comment. I guess he said, you know, we're not going to restrict anything at the federal level. We're going to let everything happen at the state level.
Which is what people were asking for before Roe versus Wade was overturned.
Right. But the anti-abortion crowd consistently just wants a federal ban. Now, this is my biggest problem with the anti-abortion people, is they believe that abortion is the killing of an innocent life. And you can believe that if you want. But if you're killing an innocent life, that's the definition of murder. But yet they consistently always make exceptions for rape, incest, and to save the life of the mother. So at what point in life is murder okay? Because they are making an exception for murder if they actually believe abortion is murder. It doesn't compute to me. Like, you cannot make an exception for murder unless you don't actually believe it's murder and it's just a marketing campaign.
Yeah, I mean, I think that part of the issue is folks who are, you know, completely pro-life, they know that they're not going to win with some people that argument. So it's a horrible concession to have to make, I'm sure, in their mind, but they have to make that concession, because otherwise the alternative is more, the alternative is worse. So to have any abort, you know, to be able to just have an abortion when you want, compared with, you know, being able to control when it can happen, I guess they're willing to say, I'll have to accept that, as opposed
to... They concede that abortion, that murder is justified. That's what they're conceding. They are literally conceding that murder, because they believe that abortion is murder, that it's okay. And the reason why I bring that up is because that's literally what Donald Trump said. Donald Trump said abortion is murder, but then he says, I'm okay with it in the case of, you know, rape, incest, and the, saving the life of the mother. Well, it just doesn't make sense.
I mean, how many people who are pro-life are also pro-capital punishment, too? You know, like, okay, well, you know, somebody did something heinous,
right?
Well,
capital punishment isn't murder. That's literally just, you know, justified in their eyes because you are killing somebody who probably killed somebody else.
But it's still killing somebody.
Sure. No.
You're still coming up with a justification for something you're against.
No, and I'll push back on that because they believe that it is just it's not that they are against killing somebody. They are against killing an innocent person. So they're against murder. And that's why they try to justify abortion as murder. They say, you know, abortion is the taking of an innocent life, that abortion is murder. But then they, in the same breath, they go, well, if my mother's life was in danger and it was a choice between my mother's life or my daughter's life and the baby, then, you know, abortion's okay. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't compute. You should allow, if you are a true pro-life, anti-abortion person, you should allow God to make that choice for you. You shouldn't go through a medical procedure. you should allow nature to take its course. And if your mother happens to, the mother happens to pass away, but the baby survives, that's God's will, right? According to them, this is how they should think. But they are willing to allow a medical procedure to interfere with their actual deeply held belief.
I mean,
that's my pushback on it.
And in that case, think about all the other things that you could say, you know, if that's God's will that that's happening, why is it that? And see, that's the thing, is it gets twisted. You could say, okay, well, this person is having a heart attack. They died, but we were able to resuscitate them and bring them back. So was it God's will that, you know, they were supposed to die and we went against that? No, it was God's will that the doctor would come in and save his life. You know, like the goalposts get moved.
They always get moved. They always get moved. But the bottom line is I just find it interesting that both sides are upset at Donald Trump now on the abortion issue, just because he doesn't want to, during an election season especially, because he knows the only thing Joe Biden has going for him is the abortion thing. He knows that that'll be used against him during the election, that he wants to ban certain abortions, or they want to ban, give a time frame for a ban of abortion. So he's kicking it to the state. He's punting. He's punting until he gets elected, really. Because once he gets elected, then he'll push for some sort of a ban, because that's really been always been the ultimate goal of the anti-abortion crowd. But yeah, that was my thought. I heard it on your Top of the Hour News with Ariel, and I figured I'd bring it up.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Bye, bud. You too.
All right. We've got to take a break here. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Good morning, Mass. This is Brett Michaels, and I just want to tell you right now, it is time for your morning medal right here on the Tim Weisberg Show on WBSM.
One of the best voices of the hair metal era, the hair band era. That's Terry Alouse and XYZ. Terry Alouse, who's been on Spooky South Coast a couple of times. Great guy. So I got a text from a person who's listening who's also a lawyer, who says that battery is the uncontested touching of another person, which is, you know, touching another person without their consent. So you don't have to actually harm somebody for it to be an issue. You just have to touch them without their permission, which is, you know, clearly what happened in that video. Hey, I've got to take one final break here. Sorry to do this to you, but I got to take one final break here before I run out of time. So we'll do that. We'll be back in just a few moments. All right. That's going to do it for me for today. Stay tuned. Chris has South Coast Now coming your way, and then we'll have the Bill O'Reilly Show. And then after that, the Bill O'Reilly Report, rather. And then after that, we'll have Ken Pittman filling in for Barry Richard. And we also have an article I'd like you to read at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app if you have a few moments. The Asonet Inn is up for sale. And so if you want to see what it looks like inside now, they've been in the process of trying to convert it into condominiums. And they're actually, they're a little bit along in the process, but whoever purchases it now can take over what they've done and move on. The expectation is that you can turn it into, I forget the number of units, but that each unit would sell for, you know, between $400,000 and $500,000. And then, you know, you're paying $800,000 for the building and then finishing off the work, so you could turn a tidy profit. I don't know about all that, but I do know I'd like to buy it and live in it. I do, and if anybody out there buys it and wants me to come and investigate some of the ghost reports, I'd be happy to do that too. So whether or not they're really associated with that property or they might have been transposed from a former tavern that used to be across the river, we're not really sure, but the stories have existed.